Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Welcome to Lifeworth Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study, another Wednesday we can get together and study the Word of God and understand what God is saying to us, amen, in these days and times that we live in, amen. And we most of all want to make sure that we check ourselves to make sure that we are aligned with the Word of God. We don't have to try to be in line with what Facebook is saying, what Twitter is saying, and what Essence Magazine is saying, or what Ebony, I don't know if they're still around, or Jet Magazine is saying. I'm aging myself. But we want to make sure that we align with what God is saying about us. You know, because people can have their own opinion about you, but it doesn't matter. What they think is what God says about you. And the good thing about God, even the stuff he know about you, he still calls you something else. He called those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say he sees us in the future, and we look much better than we do right now. And I thank God for his mercy and his grace towards us, because even though he know all about us, he still blesses us, still wake us up in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still grace us and still call us his own. Hallelujah. Still call us his own. And I thank God for his mercy and his grace. And we greet you on behalf of our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones, and our co-founder, apostle, Bishop Archbishop Bruce W. Smith. And we thank God for my wife, Pastor Ann, you, and especially you being here today. Hallelujah. We're studying again Romans, the third chapter, and I think we stopped at verse 13. Amen. And we see where Paul, again, is still talking to this church in Rome, where we have Gentiles and Jews alike, but they all now have been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And how many do you know that tradition and stuff that you used to can get a hold of you and bind you up? So Paul is trying to get them to let go of the past, a tradition, and things that were familiar with you. And in order to grow, in order to develop, you cannot really forget the past, but you can't live in the past. We have to use the past as a measuring stick, as a benchmark, so we can move forward. So, you know, some people say you forget your past, but you can't really forget your past, because then you got to know where you came from to know where you want to go. And so, and God a lot of times will let us know where he brought us from. So many times he told Israel, remember beyond the flood, I brought you out of Egypt. So we want to know that God is the one who delivered us. And so Paul is stressing these Christians at this church in Rome that we cannot be beside ourselves and think we have made it. And because if we think we've made it, we won't progress. We won't get better. We won't strive for anything better. You know, I was mentoring a kid, and he told me, and I was saying, man, you can't be getting D's and stuff. And he was like, well, I'm passing. And I almost blew a head gasket. How can you be satisfied with just passing, and you want to be a student athlete? And so I was like, man, you gotta go beyond mediocrity. You gotta press your way. And so it's just like a lot of people will come to church, and all they want to do is come to church. But coming to church ain't about an exercise. It's not about just doing something. It's about learning and growing and developing. So what you do is like somebody going to school, and they don't learn nothing. Buying all these books, I mean, some of these books cost $40, $100, and buying all these books and stacking them up and don't know nothing in those books. I mean, it don't cost you nothing. So you come to church, you pay your tithes, you do all this stuff, and you have not grown in the Spirit. So today we want to make sure that we take this Word of God and grow and develop. So before we get started, we're going to open in a word of prayer. Pastor Ann, and then we'll go into our lesson today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's
given us another opportunity to come into his presence, to praise him, to study, to show ourselves approved unto him. And, Father, we come blessing your name and glorifying your name and thanking you, Lord, for another day and another opportunity that we can come before you, O God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And, Father, we thank you, Lord, God, that we bow before you today in humble submission unto you, God, knowing, Lord, God, that you is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above anything that we can even ask or think about. So, God, we come into your presence right now, Lord, God. Just want to come back and say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
we
you, Lord.
Say thank you, Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah,
you, Lord.
Lord, God, for giving us our right mind and the right attitude and right spirit and for giving your son to die on the cross for our sins and then giving us a place, Lord, God, to worship and obey you, Lord God, to worship and adore you, God, even in this temple, this house right here, Lord God, in our temple, but Lord God, in this Ephesus, the light of the world church, Lord, we thank you right now, God. We pray, Lord God, that you will bless this Bible study, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We know, Lord God, that you have a word for us today. And, Father, we are praying for those that are online and those that are in-house right now, Lord God. We are praying that you, Lord God, will give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the word is saying to us today.
Thank you.
So we may be able to go forth and tell somebody else what Jesus, what God has said. And so, God, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we see how great is our God. Come on, sing it with me. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Always see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He's worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great? How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Always see how great is our God. That's your declaration. Come on and clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah, how great is our God. Hallelujah, and our God is so great that we, and when we think about his greatness, we understand how small we are. We understand how minute we are. Our finite little brain cannot even fathom, amen, how great God is to be able to be outside of everything that exists. Hallelujah. And he is in eternity. And he is forever. He is the only one who is forever. And because he made us in his likeness, we become those who are we going to be living forever. The only difference is who you're living with. Ask your neighbor who you're living with. When this life is over, you want to live with Jesus. Because the alternative is not good. Amen. So today, we thank God for this word today, Romans 3. And as I was thinking about how people who want to be so satisfied with where they are, I began to think about things that have happened in history and in life. There was a time when they thought that the earth was flat. But in our history book, right, that the earth was flat. And so what if Columbus or whoever, nobody went beyond because they felt like they was going to fall off the cliff. What if that have happened? What would civilization look like right now? And so anything that you can think of that has been in existence cannot stay the way it was. One of our favorite shows is Perry Mason. And, man, when you look at those cars back then, I mean, the steering wheel is like big old steering wheel. I mean, nice. I mean, it looked great. But there's progress since then. You know, the clock system, they had those things. You know, even the cash register back then. But now you go through it, you just, you know. So progress, what I'm trying to say is, so why would we as Christians wouldn't want to progress, wouldn't want to get better, wouldn't want to improve what we know about God? If we really understand that, if we understand how to tap in benefits that God has given to us, if we are able to tap in to all the stuff that God wants us to have, we would really start seeking the will of God. And seeking the will of God is not about our will. The problem we have is we're seeking our will. Yeah. And so we don't understand why we're here. And if you understand your purpose, you won't abuse anything. You can take a blow dryer. If you don't understand what the purpose of a blow dryer is, you're going to abuse it. You're going to use it for the wrong thing. We do people that way, right? We don't understand that their purpose, so we abuse them. So if you know who your purpose is, you'll be diligent on working to make sure that you are to a place where your purpose can be fulfilled. And we are all vessels and instruments in the hand of God so he can use us to fulfill purpose. His will is that we would come. The reason why he dispatched us into earth, into this time zone, is because he had a purpose for us. He had something for us to do. He had those young people that Reggie, that you had to encounter. You had to build up. You had to put something in them because they were lacking that, but he sent you to earth so you can do that. And it ain't done yet. And so the things that we have encountered with is because God has a purpose for us. And so as our assignment is to get better and better so we can fulfill our purpose. And I mean, because all of us, I always think about a scripture that says, when you give, it shall be given unto you. And all we do is think about good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But the last part of that is really important. He says, shall men give into your bosom. They ain't coming out of the sky. All of us are the ones who's gonna make it shake down, running together. I'm shaking or running over. We're the one who's gonna make that supply, who's gonna meet that need, right? So we gotta be at a place where we ready to meet that need. That no matter what it is, if God speaks to us, we're gonna just step in and do what he has us to do because that's our purpose. Not saying, look, she can't stand me, I ain't doing that for her. He can't stand, somebody else ought to do that. No, we're gonna do what God wants us to do because we know that we ought to please God. And so Paul is telling this church that none of us are good enough. And he's going to tell them about how man is so polluted and depraved of right. Ain't no right in us. To a point when Jesus was in this flesh and the man called him good master, he said, don't call me good. Ain't none good but God. And so we can get very, very, and it baffles me how people cannot see themselves, even in a blatant. How could you have the nerve to tell somebody what they need to do, and you're not doing it. And we would, I mean, we would do it blatantly and like, and would police them. Why you ain't doing it? And they can say, well, why you ain't doing it? You know? And so, but if we seek to make sure that we, I heard Bishop Ruth say, if we manage ourselves well, we ain't got to tell people about it. They'll see us, and then they want to follow you. Well, that's all we do. Jesus said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men, right? He said, do what I say. He said, follow me, meaning observe what I'm doing, duplicate what I'm doing, follow what I'm doing, right? And so Paul is begging these Christians not to think that you have made it because none is good. None, right? He said, no, not one. So we're going to go to verse 13, and we're going to do 13 through 18. Elder David. We're going to start with Elder David. 13 through 18.
Their throat is an open sept. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of ash is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, he's speaking of a group of people or a class of people that are not only exist in that day, they still exist today. And I think as the world population increase or grows, that group grows larger. The Bible says that the mouth of hell gets wider and wider as we go along, as we live, which means that there are more people going to hell than being pulled out of hell. And it's because, well, we know Satan is influencing, and we know that Satan is more interested in influencing believers than he is in possessing. And the Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare. Satan has weapons of his warfare. And one of his tricks is to take our warfare and turn it against it. And one of the best weapons that you have against Christians or controlling believers is our mouth. Because the Bible talks extensively about the mouth, what you're saying. Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles them. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles them. Because what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. All this hatred and this stuff they're talking here is coming from the heart. And what Satan wants to do is to get into our heart, but he can't. So what he does, he gets into our mind. And what we leave in our mind unchecked, if it stays there long enough, it gets into our heart. And once it gets into our heart, he wants us to speak it. And so the Bible says sin purges at our door. And the mouth of the wicked will entrap you. So whatever you're saying, if you say it long enough, you're going to start to believe it. Once you start to believe it, you're mm-hmm. going to start to act on it. Mm-hmm. And you were talking a moment ago about our assignment, our mm-hmm. appointment, our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Our purpose is to, once we get saved, is to live or tell a lie to somebody else that's not saved so they can get saved, because we were once unsaved, not
mm-hmm.
saved.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us became Christians because somebody in our family was born Christian, raised Christian, and we became the same way mainly because our parents made us go. We became bad because our parents made us become bad. And if it wasn't for our parents, we wouldn't have got saved, just like their parents wouldn't got saved, even when they were picking cotton and getting beaten and all this stuff. Somewhere, somebody snuck the Holy Ghost in them, and they start to believe, and they start making our children believe. And that's how this involved in society today. You know, the Bible said that the devil is the prince of the airwaves. That's why you see so much murder in the movies, on TV, pornography, men laying up with men, women laying up with women. You even got a case in a lot of the Midwestern states. Having sex with animals is a big thing. In clubs and groups and all this stuff. What they were doing back in Jesus' day, they covered up a lot. But now it's been spread, and that's part of what God had told us pretty much from the beginning. Before Jesus come back, there's going to be a lot more stuff that we're seeing. Like now, everybody running around shooting people. Now they're trying to pass a law where you don't need a permit.
That sounds so
know.
Crazy.
We're gonna change our name to Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. I mean, every day it's from babies to old folks, and but this is based upon what the Bible has already told. Before Jesus come back, it's gonna be worse than what it is now, and everybody think that they're right. I was offended by what so-and-so said, so I'm going to sue, so I'm going to shoot all this stuff. But this is released by what comes out of my mouth. And this group is really no different from a lot of groups now. And we got churches that worship snakes. The word of God being disrespected and all that stuff. But this is what the Bible says is going to happen, and this is what's happening. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And as we grow older, as time goes on, it ties into the prophecies and all old prophecies and all this stuff. But he's talking here about the danger of the mouth. If you want God to act in your behalf, quick, fast, and unhurried, use your mouth. Give him the praise. You know, as you said that God said he has planned set before Deuteronomy 30:19 that life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Speak life. If you speak life based on the word of God and the will of God, that's what you're gonna have.
That's what's gonna be.
Mark 11:23 said, if you believe in your heart that you will have those things that you say when you pray, and you doubt not in your heart, then you should have those things. That's a work both ways. You can curse a child or scream at a child, do something to a child. That's going to rest in that child's stomach until he dies. I'm sure everybody here got something that's something that happened to them when they were a child. Might have been bad, might have been good. That somebody said a certain person that they were the favorite person, because they treated them nice and, hey, baby, how you doing, encouraged them. But once you say it and you get it in your stomach, I believe that's where the Holy Spirit works. So a lot of times I start having stuff going, something God's going to do something. Because something is going on in this stomach here. But when you speak it and you say it, it either gives the kingdom of God the power and authority to act in your behalf, or it gives the kingdom of Satan the authority to act against.
Whatever's in the heart, what comes out of the mouth. And I'm beginning to see our heart, our spirit, That's where everything that we are is. And our belief, our everything that we are, everything we believe in, everything we hope for is in our heart. And so that's why we got to put the word in our heart. When David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you," is because now what happens is our gates allow thoughts to come in to our minds. But the only way it could enter into our heart if we have a road, if we don't have a roadblock. So the word is a roadblock that when that stuff starts coming back and say, no further. Can't get in here. But if we don't have enough word in us, that stuff gonna get in our heart. Then after that we start feeling a certain way. And we start thinking a certain way now because now our heart has been corrupted by what we receive. So that's why we gotta pray always. That's why the Bible says we gotta always pray. Because when thoughts come into your head, if you don't have the word in your heart, it's going to get in your heart. And once it gets in your heart, it's going to start acting out. It's going to start demonstrating itself. Right? So what Paul is saying is, because your when you speak, it's like a grave full of dead bones. Rotten. I was about to say, so speaking. You talking about bad breath. When you have this everything you talk about is death, is destruction, is hurting somebody, is doing bad against somebody else. No praise and nowhere in your mouth. Some people, all they want to talk about is something bad. And some people are so negative and pessimistic that if you come to them with an idea, the first you're going to hear, oh, that ain't going to work, oh, this thing going to work. Oh. But what he's saying is if your heart ain't right, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And because your heart ain't right, because you in your flesh, that's what's going to come out. So you can't think you good because your heart ain't right. Elite.
Yeah, like you were saying about the open sepulcher, and that's what it's just like, because they're running bombs.
Right.
Rotten in blood and flesh and whatever. So it's just like, you know, big open. Go by. Think. I mean, I've walked by a place and years ago over in the bushes with, you know, a dead dog or dead whatever. And you just, I was like, who is that? And you're riding in the car. So, but, you know, I think part of the problem, too, was because of what they were saying, you know, with their tongues. And it was saying that they were, like, going back up surface. But truthfully, that is a Greek word there. I think it's Asterius. Asterius means useless. Like they're a mass of flame, putrid mess thrown together in heat. And so even your mouth is that, and so you're cutting words, kill people. And you're burying the reputation of God behind your putrid actions and what you speak out of your mouth. And I think it went along with the thought that in them, they were keeping the commandments, and they thought as long as they didn't physically kill somebody, that, you know, that what they were even speaking and saying and their actions weren't sin, because, oh, that's not one of the commandments. Mm-hmm. You have to actually kill somebody, you know, and he's mm-hmm. trying to get, he said, no. And as Elder Davis went back, you know, your mouth, your tongue can kill them too. And so kill people. And it was like they had no fear of God because the actual love of God had to be in their heart and not love of the law, which was, you know, it could keep you in rules and regulations, but hopefully it was to lead you to love God. But we know that.
When you say the love of the Lord, that is the love of you. What you so the law, something you got to do.
Yeah.
Faith is something you got to believe. And so that's why Jesus said when he first came and his first message was repent. Change the way you think. Change the way you believe, because that's not the right way. Going after the Lord, doing this, and he broke it down. He went to all those laws and said, listen, if you hate your brother without a cause, you are a murderer. He said, you slay somebody now. He said, you hate your brother without a cause. This, if you look on a woman and desire her, you already committed adultery. It ain't about you being caught in the bed. So he began to preach his first message. Repent. Change the way you see it. It ain't that way. Because all they want to do is say, oh, I kept that law. I kept that law. But then you have indignation in your heart. You don't care. You don't care about the poor. You don't care about doing things. All you want to do is make money. You know, and your heart is only on what you do, and you want to boast. And that's why the Bible says it's not at work. Yes, any man should boast, because that's what we want to do. Once we, I pay my tithes. I come to church every time the church goes. I do this. Is your heart right? You know, is God pleased with you? Are you growing? Are you developing? Are you growing daily? You know, and so if we seek to want to grow daily, that's what God is pleased with. So when you, in order to grow, though, you got to realize that you ain't made. In order to get to the next step, you got to realize that I have. Right? And so if you realize, if you're thinking that, I'm at the plateau, I'm at the apex, I don't have to do nothing, then you already done failed. You already failed, because nobody made it yet. Nobody. We all got to climb every day. And that's why he said we got to put him on cross every day and follow him. Mm-hmm. And then when you pick up your cross, that means you're denying him. You're forgetting about what you got, who you are, what your pedigree is. You're forgetting about that, and you know that you got to do God's way. You can't do Stephen's way. You got to do your way. You can't do it your way. You got to do God's way. That's the only way you're going to please. And so when you want to please God, that's the first step of growth. Because that means you know you ain't good enough. if you're thinking to please God, that lets you know right there, and listen, I know I ain't got to do it. Because it wasn't for grace. It wasn't for his mercy. I thank God every day. Whew. The 1975 June 15 came, and he rescued me. And when I could have been hooked on PCP and all and acid and all that stuff, he didn't let me commit suicide. So many people tried it once. They're not here to talk about it. Oh, but God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Gave me a chance. Hallelujah. And I'm here today to let you know that God is a keeper if you want to be kept. God is a keeper if you want to be kept. If you want to get kept, if you want to be kept, he'll keep you. You want to be saved, he'll save you. Oh, my God, I cried. God, free me of this alcohol. Free me of this sickness. Couldn't do it on my own. Oh, but that's Sunday afternoon. Woo!
Man.
He slapped the face out of my mouth. I was like, Paul, when he got slapped off that hook, slapped the taste smack out of my mouth. That since 75 till today, if I smell it, I get sick to my stomach. Oh, my God, you can't tell me God ain't real. You can't tell me he ain't real. Yeah, so you got to know that you ain't made it. And not because that ain't mean the Holy Spirit ain't coming knocking on my door now. That don't mean I done made it. No. Other things are knocking on my door. So I have to say, hey, you don't look like God. You don't smell like God. Get out of here. Sometimes you get deceived. You got to say, oh, God, I'm sure that you can. When you begin to think, know who to call on. Peter was walking on water. Something that no man except Jesus has ever done. Walking on water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, guess what that? But he had the sense to know to call Jesus. All he has to say, help. That's all we got to do. What we stop to say?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing about having pride. You want to go down or you want to be saved? Call Jesus. He will come to your rescue and save you. That's what he's here for. That's why we're here. We're asking God to save us every day. That is getting us closer and closer because we want to make, we want to. No matter what we do. And so it says, even your throat, down in your throat, is like open. I mean, this is so dead. It's so hidden. I mean, nothing, no life in you nowhere. I mean, dead stuff in your throat. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? And then he says, it's under your tongue. I mean, everything in your
heart. You got a question?
You like you need a dentist real bad. You got everything going on in your mouth. Up and down, whatever that thing is. And it says that there's poison under your lips. I mean, you're like a snake. I mean, like you got to die for it. And then he said, then your feet, I swear, to do you, to shed blood. We see it today. Yes. All in the news, every day. People are killing each other over and over.
It's driving down, thinking somebody
for no reason. Our feet are quick. To shed innocent blood. And then destruction and misery are in their way. And their way of peace, they don't even know.
Huh.
You cross somebody in drive.
Yeah.
Just start shooting at them. I mean, if you're going somewhere and you're in a hurry, why you want to take the time to try to shoot somebody? If you're in a hurry, get going where you're going.
Yeah.
Right? But you ain't that much hurry that you're going to take up your gun and try to kill somebody.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but this word is being fulfilled even today, and there is no fear of God before your eyes. There's no fear of God. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place.
You know, the Bible says that our idle mind is Satan's workshop. And in order for us to keep our mind from being idle, we got to kind of guard our mind.
Yep.
And we do that with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was going to say about the tongue, the Bible says, can no man tame the tongue. Now, men can tame flesh, but they can't do nothing
with the tongue.
But the tongue is very powerful.
Yes.
Because it depends on what I say. I can really
yes.
take you out.
Yes.
So, you know, we just need to, we all guilty, we need to guard our heart. Because sometimes things come out of my mouth. The Bible said life and death is in the power of, and sometimes we look at scripture, but we don't rightly divide truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go back and look, and then we question God, Lord, why did this happen? That's because I already spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
And then realize what I was speaking. So I'm learning to speak life into the situation regardless of what it looked like.
Amen. Good job.
Whatever you plant, you're going to reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So when stuff comes up or somebody try to tell you something that's happened to you because of whatever you did, you can identify whether that's your harvest or not. If you didn't plant it, it's not your harvest. you didn't put it down, you're not going to be the one to get it up. And so, but if you put it down, it's coming up. And so we got to be careful what we say. Because there used to be a saying that we said back in the biggest lie there, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Man, what is it? Elijah. He just finished killing 450 prophets, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he heard the word from Jezebel, said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. What he did? That man ran to hide and had a pity party. He under the tree. Oh, I'm the only one left, Lord. Oh, nobody but me, Lord. He done got a pity party going on. Word. Jezebel ain't did nothing to him. He just heard the word of Jezebel. And here he go running, crying, telling God, I'm the only one nobody else saved but you. How many times the devil tried to get us to have a pity party? Ain't nobody else going through this but me. No, if you're going through something, trust me, somebody already went through that. And so we can see where Paul is just striving with this church, trying to get them to see that the heart of mankind is wicked. So we cannot trust our own heart. David said, create in me. Clean, create. Because the one I got ain't getting it. Because all have mercy upon me according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Run out all my transgressions. Wash me, purge me with hyssop. Not just purge me, but do it with hyssop. That I should be clean. But most of all, he said, create in me the clean heart. Because even if you wipe me, if you wash me all over, oh, my God, and my heart ain't fixed, that dirt going to show again. They even tell me, you clean up a pig all you want. Put him in a tuxedo. In a few minutes, he gonna be in the slob, falling in the dirt.
Create in me a clean heart. Lord, I need spiritual open heart surgery, because you know exactly how to get in there and remove those things that need to be removed.
Yes.
I have some arteries that need to be cleaned up. So, you know, sometimes we have to ask the Lord to purge us, because we don't know how to do it.
Yes.
I just said that my heart is okay, but God would say, oh, no, you got a lot of problems going on there. And so that's why I said, Lord, just create in me a clean heart. And, Lord, I really need spiritual open heart surgery.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm. It starts flowing in the blood. It starts slowing. You find yourself now where when you get in the presence, if you can get in the presence of God, used to be so quick. And all of a sudden now you got a breath inside of, I got to get in his presence, try to feel him. And you're like, okay, so something just ain't right, so I need to clear them arteries out. I need to take all our plaque that comes in there. And you know, plaque comes from stuff that you like, that greasy food. You really snacking on.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff, it feels good to you. But when it gets down in the bloodstream, it's working against you. So they're like sin. They're like some people can like to gossip and carry stuff and hear about stuff happening to other people. That stuff sounds good if that's what you're at. But once it gets down in you, it's going to start clogging up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The love that you used to have ain't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The heart ain't going to pump like it used to pump. But you got that stuff coming in you. So when you need to love that person, you ain't going to love them like you used to, because you got some stuff clogging up the arteries. Right?
No, what I was going to say, this over there, Minister Ollie, and I was just praying, you know, about my mouth and my tongue. Even though it was a good thing, God was helping. I said, well, Lord, I don't need to say, I don't need to do that, because even though it had something to do with the word and somebody was saying this and they was teaching a lesson, but it was completely off kilter. But during the course of that lesson, I had already interjected something. And this thing, after, I said, oh, I got to, no. And then the Lord just kept saying, nope, just keep your mouth off of it. And, you know, I said, my Lord, it was wrong. They got the wrong. And he said, no. And then I was asking the Holy Spirit. He said, well, it is right what you're going to tell them, but sometimes if you correct someone too much, you know, and they were inspired by what they were saying, even though it was all wrong. And so it reminded me of people reading about they were inspired, you know, these Roman Christian Jewish, whatever, Israelites, you know, and they were just excited about what they knew about God and everything. But then Paul came along and he said, no, it was all wrong. But then he said, no, just this isn't the time. Hold off, and then further, you know, down the road, because even though I find out even in corrections, you can't pile stuff up on folks unless they become discouraged. And as Christians, that's not what we're supposed to do, is cause discouragement. And I could see where that would do that. And so he said, just keep your mouth shut and pray that they would either get the awakening or the truth of it, or later on down the road, if it comes up, you know, you could do it then. But what I was going to say, how the enemy too works on us is sometimes we don't know, because he doesn't come full blast. He's very subtle, but he'll do stuff and put it in there to say, oh, bless you. And then we'll get all upset as Christians and go to war and to fight. And so he'll back up on something and what he has said. And then that year inch a little bit, so it's used to something. And the next 2 years go a little further of his plan. So in 5 years or 10, it's been so subtly coming on us that we're not even fighting and praying against it, because we don't even realize it's being seeped into our hearts and we're accepting it.
The thing about this you don't think that you got it paid, you depend on the Holy Ghost more than you used to. Because a lot of times we think that, oh, I don't need to consult the Holy Ghost on that. I don't need to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just do stuff. But if we, and we talked about last week, when we talk about we put him first, we have to put him first in everything. So when we put him first in stuff we do, he'll correct us and tell us, yeah, even though it's right now it's wrong.
Yeah, that's what
it was. Even though it's right now is wrong, because God, and we got to understand, we are God's people. God is raising us up all individually. And I had four kids. I couldn't raise them four kids the same way.
Yeah.
Each one of them different. Each one of them different. So think about God. He got all of us. And he's raising us. Yes, God Almighty. He's raising us so he knows what takes for every last one. Because what it'll take for you will destroy you. But he knows. And so the Holy Ghost also knows. And so that's why he tells you, don't worry about them right now. Don't worry about that right now. I got it. Because the whole thing is, if you want the person to be better, it ain't about you now. See, this is what you get mixed up. It ain't about you being the one correcting them.
Yes.
It ain't about you correcting them. It's about them growing up as a bigger brother or sister. That's why the Bible says, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. So if you're the bigger sister, your job now is to, even though I'm wrong, but let you know you've been loved. And so when God's ready, because the timing is so critical.
Yeah.
As an athlete, as anything you do, timing is vital.
Yeah.
And so in the presence of God, with God, timing is everything.
When he's talking about raising up a child, you know, the Bible says raise up a child in the way in which he should go. Well, I've heard my grandparents and older people, they used to talk about a child having a bent, like a tree has a bent. When you raise up children, like you were saying, you can have 10 children in the same house, and you're going to go all different ways.
Right, right.
And what they were saying is that when you raise up a child, you raise him in the way he is sent.
Mm-hmm.
What they meant is what gift, what skills, what talent, what they like and
mm-hmm.
don't like.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what a child is going to
mm-hmm.
excel in.
Mm-hmm.
One child might like playing football while mm-hmm. the other child inside on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
One child might like playing basketball. I know we all had uncles and stuff that I had an uncle who could take a car, had the engine and transmission down, put it back together, never finished high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had an uncle who could they build their own house.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were electricians and plumbers, but they never went to school. That was because of what they had, their interest and the
mm-hmm.
bent that they, as Oprah said, the bent.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to your mama, I'm guaranteeing you, she's somewhere along the way. She said, all of y'all got a different bent.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say raise up a child the way we wish you to go, but the word keyword here is child.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
before,
right.
You're supposed to get hold of a child at a certain age.
Right.
You can get a child 20 years old that
mm-hmm.
don't know how to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You got another child that's 6 years old. They give him a shotgun, he gonna hunt.
Mm-hmm.
That's his interest. That's his
mm-hmm.
bent.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was talking about raising them children up,
mm-hmm.
you can't make them do something they don't want it.
Right.
They might do it, but they're not gonna be happy
with it.
I know people who make their sons and daughters be doctors. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be a preacher. He's gonna be a doctor. He's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that,
Daddy. Mm-hmm.
So they go up, do it, and be become it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not successful. They give up on it.
Mm-hmm.
I know people, hundreds of people, who graduated from law school
mm-hmm.
and found out that's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who were doctors, have successful businesses,
mm-hmm.
and they gave up
yeah.
because that's not what they wanted. I know people who even married people that they
mm-hmm.
didn't want to because mama, dad, oh, that's a good boy there. That's a
mm-hmm.
good girl there. Oh, I like her. She's religious
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but that's not what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about raising them up and that bent that you put the bent on them,
mm-hmm.
that's why we got so many kids now going all different kinds of ways, borrow $1 million, go to college, and when they get what then they still not satisfied.
Mm-hmm. But
the Bible gives us all of this from thousands of years ago, and
mm-hmm.
it's still in force.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in effect.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's really good. Did you say something?
I did this with my girls.
Mm-hmm.
Janice, the calm one, and Jesse, man, you say left to go right.
Mm-hmm.
And but they leveled out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she was different doesn't mean that we, you know. It was just really interesting watching them grow up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because in the first grade, well, we learned real early in life that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
even when the point that when my youngest daughter went to college, you know, like Elder Davis was talking about,
mm-hmm.
she can make up her mind on what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I said, well, you're going to college and you're going to major in computer science.
Mm-hmm.
She took 1 year of computer science. She said, no, Dad, this is not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, then you got to make up your mind you're doing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and where the other one, you know, she had a mindset on what she wanted to do. And,
mm-hmm.
But the younger one, man,
mm-hmm.
and come find out, she said, Dad, I never work a 9-to-5.
Wow.
You know, because she was, and that's her temperament, you know.
Oh,
so
mm-hmm.
she's doing very, she's very successful
mm-hmm.
in money marketing. She works like 2 days a week
mm-hmm.
and doing very well in
it. That's great.
You know, but the whole thing is we just have to let them be themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and like Elder Davis said, you can't force them to do anything.
That's right. Good
yeah.
job. Yeah. That's right. Can't.
attention to the scripture, and I found the scripture, and it's good that we're talking about the children and raising them up, but you know, the one that when I was a child, I spoke as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I found this, when I was a child, I spoke, that's the first thing, as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, a mature, I put away childish things. So when you become a man, you do those three things in reverse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So instead of speaking and then understanding and then thinking, which was last with a child, that's first with a man. I'm thinking. Now the second thing, as a mature person, I'm thinking on that, think on these things. Then I'm understanding, and now I'm speaking it,
mm-hmm.
rather than as a child who speaks first.
Mm-hmm.
And goes in reverse. So I thought that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So as the family of God, can recognize that all of us are being raised by God, and we can just recognize that we've all been raised by God, and so we cannot think that God don't know how to raise us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can't think that we know. You know, sometimes the older child, they get in the pants. Well, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The older child, sometimes they think they're
yeah.
the parents.
Yeah.
But in the family of God, ain't the older child.
Mm-hmm.
We're all children of God. But now, the more mature child can help the other children. Right? But we can't parent them. We can assist them. We can help them to say, hey, I know when I was coming up, when I was your age, here's how I handle it. It may work for you, may not work for you, but here's how I handle it. That's why we overcome by the word of our testimony, right? And so God, if we realize that God is raising all of us as his children, and so when you see your brother or sister is doing something that's not pleasing to God, you can go to them and say, daddy wants you to. Daddy wants that. So you ain't going to say, hey, you don't need that. No, it's on behalf of daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're blood. I mean, you represent me too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to your side, man. I don't want to you. You know? Is anything going to get to me? Let me know. But don't, you don't need to be doing. No, we can't go to people like that.
Because
mm-hmm. then you're going to.
Yeah.
You're going to have some blows on, right? So we understand that God is raising us all as his children.
Mm.
All of us have different lives.
Mm-hmm.
We all ain't got it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't look down on you because you ain't got that yet, because some things I ain't got yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so how we can all get there is how we can found these other children. So that way, I'm not higher than you. You're not higher than me. We all going to learn one thing or another from another person. Because the thing you're strong in, somebody else might be weak in. What you're weak in, somebody else is strong in. It ain't about being strong or weak. It's about helping each other. Ephesians 4:16, each joint supplies to the body.
Yeah.
Each joint makes the supplies. That's how the body works, right? And so if we realize that, I want to leave us with that God is raising us all, his children. So we can't think that we know better than our father's children. Because we all got the same DNA. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is our DNA. What's in us is going to be in us. That's why he said, greater is that in you than he that's in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, clap your hands for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I pray that we got some of this lesson today. Thank God for be your offering through the offering. That's in.
Yes, yes. Praise God. Come on and give God glory and give him praise.
Hallelujah.
And give him honor.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to, for my own self, clear up what we were saying, because when we were talking about if Pastor Butterfield or myself is standing up here teaching, and you know if we're saying something wrong, you wouldn't make that correction. I'm trying to see where we wouldn't make that correction right then. We're saying we'll wait and make the correction later. But then the people in the audience got the information. So, but what we are saying is we still should wait, because the wrong information that I done gave out, a person got it, the other person, another person may have gotten it too and know that it's not right. Somebody may have gotten it that don't know it's not right, so they're going to start acting on what I just said. So I'm trying to see where are we saying that we should not correct the teacher? If they're teaching and you do have an opportunity to make the correction, I'm just trying to get that for my own self.
She said the Spirit told her that.
Yeah, more than once. I had already.
That's what we're going by. What the Spirit said.
But the Spirit was saying that.
She made an objection before.
It's okay, even probably from the floor, if it's something immediate, if it was true. But if you do it, and I mostly to the side because I've done it, but as long as that teacher knows to come back the following week,
mm-hmm.
because I know it's not just us in here, since long as they know to come back the following week and say, yes, last week, so-and-so, let me correct that.
Okay.
And that's what I did on this other thing. They were asking the question or something.
Okay.
I thought out this last week and got to correct. So when I went back on it, I said, I have the answer.
Okay.
This is how so-and-so.
Okay. So it was more than one time, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah,
and so you had to make a decision. As Lord was speaking to you, saying, "Hey, don't keep on, Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. She did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
they were saying
last night,
just
two of them,
who
would go over
to
say something. They spent another 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what she said, but I know they suspended. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But when I guess said something to her about it, she came right back and apologized.
Right.
She definitely did. Did it on the bill. So, she spoke out of line, but then when she realized that it wasn't right, then she wanted to make that correction. But I don't think she was trying to, from the way she sounds, she wasn't trying to say anything that was disrespectful to anybody. So, she went on and apologized. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, what people said, they said it and sent it
mm-hmm.
to them.
Mm-hmm.